Blog Talk Radio.
With Stevie Anderson Radio right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we are hanging out on the 21st of April 2015, and we were supposed to be together on the 14th, and I couldn't do it. I was a little under the weather, so we decided to move it to today instead of last week. And so thank you for that. I appreciate that, Stevie, for letting it push. I know that we like to keep our schedule the same, and if we schedule something, we like to keep it. But that was nice of you to let that go. But that is what was going on. So we're here on the 21st, 7 o'clock Eastern, and we have a great bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. This is episode 32, and we have done 32 episodes. It seems unbelievable, Stevie, that we've done 32 episodes, but we really have. We've done 32 episodes. And so if our guests want to call in, if you're listening to the show and you're listening to it live, feel free to call in at 323-417-6724, 323-417-6724. We would love to hear from you, and we will get you in. Just give us a chance to stop yapping long enough to get you in, and we'll get you in. Well, Stevie, it's episode 32, and it's been a fun ride so far, 32 episodes. I don't think when we first met that way back in the day that we ever thought that we'd be doing 32 episodes, but we're doing them, and it's been fun so far. I hope you've had as much fun doing them as I have.
Yes, you know, Dr. Stafford, time has flown. I can't believe it's been 32 episodes either, but you're absolutely right. Time is just, you know, that shows how fast time moves, gets by, and we tend to take it for granted.
That's right.
We really do. Yeah, but how is your, you're feeling better? You're good to go now, right? You're feeling better?
I am. Yep. I'm as good as new. I don't know if I'm as good as new, but I'm as good as slightly used, so I'm good.
Okay.
And it's been going good. This has not been the most, down here in Florida, it has not been the most favorable weather for golfing. I can tell you that. I've been thinking about you.
That's true. I just returned from New Orleans.
Went
to New Orleans briefly for a week or so, and it was raining up there and raining here. It's raining all over. It's just been wet. And I've never, it's been really, really wet for golf. Yes, and you know, when you play in the rain, it's a totally different approach to the game mentally.
Oh, yeah.
Even just the way you strike a golf ball. But it's been very, very wet, very wet. And hopefully it starts drying up here real soon. We'll see. But I think around this time of the year, especially here for us in Florida, it begins to, it's going to be raining a lot. It's close to hurricane season, I believe, right? Is it close to hurricane season?
I think so. I think it's going to be. It's supposed to be now. I've heard different things. Like I heard that they're not expecting it to be as big a hurricane season this time around this summer. But I hear that we're going to get a lot of rain this summer. It's going to be a rainy one for us in the spring and then into the summer. But the good news is we're not going to get the real bad winds. Although last couple of days here in Central Florida where I live, I know you're more like South Florida, but I live here in Central Florida. It's been windy, windy, windy here. I mean, blowing trees over, windy. So, so I think probably we're gonna get some more weather. I mean, I wish the weather would be nice, not only for us but also for you, so you can continue to play. But I don't know. It seems like it's gonna be wet.
Yeah, you have to find an open area, anywhere dry, and hit a ball. You have to go in a covered facility. However. Yeah, you have to get it in as soon as you can to keep the practice going. But
I know, I mean, you said earlier that your mindset has to change when you're playing golf in the rain. I think my mindset would be go inside. I think that'd be my mindset. Like, I don't know that I would do it. I admire you for playing in the rain. It was one of the presidents. I don't remember who it was. Was an avid golfer, and there's stories mm-hmm. about how he used to play golf with black balls in the snow. Now that to me is there's an avid golfer. I don't know if that's true or not, but I read that somewhere, and I don't remember. I want to say it was Taft, but I'm not sure. Not sure if it was the president. Maybe one of our listeners can call in and tell us. But that's some avid golfer there.
Yeah, absolutely. My brother's in Detroit. I remember a couple of times we actually went to the golf course, and I had a friend of his who was just, I love the game, but he was obsessed with the game. I mean, this guy, he wanted to just get on the course, and he would literally just want to just play two or three holes. I'm serious. It's unbelievable. And we played one time, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm not going back out there. But it was literally snow on the fairway, and the ball was so hard. It was hitting just no stopping to the golf ball. I mean, your hands was freezing. Every time you hit it, your hands would hurt. But, yeah, you have guys out there like that. They're just that serious about it. They are. They're definitely that serious.
Well, I just looked it up, and it turns out I was right. It was William Howard Taft used to be an avid golfer, but he's not considered the number one greatest presidential golfer. The number one presidential golfer is John F. Kennedy. He was a natural talent who was hampered by a bad back, but by most accounts, he was the most passionate about the game of golf of any of the presidents. And so, but there were other great ones too. There was Eisenhower, Ford, and even Barack Obama is considered a fairly avid golf player. And so you are among some great leaders there, Stevie, as an avid golfer. Are you there? Hello? Oh, I think we lost Stevie. Let's see.
You hear me?
Are you there? Oh, there you go. There you are. Well, that was weird.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
I jumped off for a second. I put off the cliff for a minute, but I'm back right now. So,
okay, well, stay away from that cliff, will you? That's dangerous.
I know, right?
I want you going off the cliff.
I was out in Arizona. But I'll tell you what, Dr. Stafford, I was saying I was fortunate to be able to even play on the golf course to compete. You say the presidents. The golf game is it's a game those guys get a chance to relax out there and enjoy the outdoors, the beautiful grass, the birds. I'm blessed to be able to play the game and be able to play the game as well. It's why I'm playing it right now. And hopefully to play even to even a higher standard than I'm playing right now. But speaking of president, since you brought that up, and just for your audience, and this is a radio show, and from now on out, we're going to start talking about if there's things you guys want to talk about. You can also hit me, get in touch with me on my Facebook. Also, we're going to start talking about things that's actually going around in the United States right now, around the world, that's active. And we had our president actually speak on what was going on, Dr. Stafford, months ago about we're still trying to figure out what's going on with the police officers and a lot of killings among our black youth and just black men in general. A lot of times people don't want to talk about this. I grew up around certain people that things like this don't exist. I'm not saying grew up now with the town I grew up in, but I'm just saying after I left my hometown and grew up, a lot of times people don't. It's getting to the point that it's a problem. It's been a problem, but this is now the world starting to see. I have friends that are police officers, and very, very awesome, awesome gentlemen. But they're real. To me, I say real police officers. They're physically, they're fit. I mean, they don't have to shoot anyone. They can run you down, and by the time they grab you, you'll feel like, okay, you're gonna listen to what they're saying. But at the same time, it's something majorly wrong right now with the training on our officers, and all we can do is just pray for the families that are victims that's going through this evil situation of being killed unarmed and for no reason from a lot of officers out there today. And, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that this is happening, but it's been happening from certain officers, and now it's just starting to really show up. But at the same time, we cannot go on through life and go on day by day thinking that all our police officers are evil people, and they're not. You have to give our best respect to them and go from there, and we need to be taught. And I mentioned this to you, I think, Dr. Stafford, off the show. I was talking to some other friends about the teaching my mom, my dad, and even just my neighbors, the training that we receive and how to react when you're approached by an officer. Because you understand, too, an officer, don't a lot of times they can't see in a tenant vehicle. They can't see what you're doing when they're walking up. And on the other side, too, there's been a lot of officers been killed for no reason.
Right.
So it's a slippery, slippery slope. But all we have to do, we just have to keep praying as a country, as, you know, as people, a generation of people. We have to continue to pray that both sides, the law enforcement and ourselves as citizens, to respect the officers, and we get that same respect back by, you know, no one should be killed, number one. That's my opinion. Number two, especially unarmed, for no reason. So we like to say that I'm not paying attention to what's going on out there in the United States, even while I travel. And I've been seeing what's going on out there, and we're not been skipping on things, talking about the topics of our young black men and just black men in general.
Mm-hmm.
And being kind of, you know, it's a problem right now. It's like, okay, one time, two times, three times, but this is a little bit too often now. You know,
yeah.
If someone tells a lie, they just lie, you know, they keep lying and lying. You still want to believe they're lying. You still want to believe them even if they're lying, but now it's showing up that they're lying.
So
I don't know what you want to talk on that, Dr. Stafford, but if you want to say something briefly, we'll go into the show. But again, I would like to say I want to, you know, give our prayers out to the families. I see Baltimore, and I said Baltimore. I used to live in Baltimore. I was in Baltimore with the Ravens briefly, Owings Mills. All of a sudden, the young man, he's being carried away, a police vehicle, and all of a sudden, this time he found these bruises on him, and he ends up dying. And then you have the guy going down the road, police officer at him, and the police officer said he reached for his taser and thought that was a taser, but it was his handgun. And I know that training teaches the officers what side the gun is on, side the taser, but we have to just keep our prayers going out that the devil don't keep creeping the wrong direction in our law enforcement and et cetera, even in us, to cause confusion for someone to end up dying. And like I said, I have police officers. I have some good friends that are police officers, and they're really, really good people. And they will do their best to save themselves, I mean, to save someone's life, and only to take someone's life if they absolutely have to. And but we as citizens, we must remember that we have to keep our prayers going, because I don't want to get too deep in it, because it's getting very, very deep, and I want to talk about this on another show, and I may even, the next show, we may even go into talking about this, but I just want you guys to know that I'm paying attention, and I'm going to get on that real soon.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, the reality is, you know, in our society, we're seeing violence is becoming more of a way of life, and, you know, this is well, we have to be careful now. You know, we have to start to, I think part of the problem is we have to stop treating symptoms in society. We have to start treating problems, you know, start making decisions and treating what the real problems are. And a lot of times, you know, what we tend to do is we tend to like to put a Band-Aid on things, but you can't put Band-Aid on cancer. You know, you can't and expect it to go away. You know, it has to be cut out. It has to be addressed. And I think you're right. I think there are some real issues. And you and I both grew up in different places as far as, you know, you grew up more in New Orleans than I grew up in Southern California. But the truth is, we both grew up in places where there was danger and there was, you know, that all existed. And I had a fairly, I lived in a fairly violent place, and I saw that. But it's not the same as it is now. Now it really is becoming, violence is just becoming a norm. And when I was growing up, violence was never the norm. It was always seen as an unfortunate part of life that we wish we did everything we could to avoid and to stop. Now it's just almost like we accept it because it's just a part of it. And so much of that is coming from not only our own culture, but just the media culture in general. I mean, turn on your news tonight, see how much violence there is. It's just, you know, you don't see the news reporting a lot about, you know, they don't report about good things as much as they report about violence and hate and the things that happen. And so what happens is we get a mindset that everything is violent. Well, everything is not violent, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
And you're right. And I don't have to be afraid of running into somebody because of their color, nor do I have to be afraid of somebody just because of their job. And
right.
Some of this is trumped up by a few who are vocal and are they're what I call fear mongers. And a lot of them are in the media. Most of them are in the media. It's sensational. I mean, Stevie, it was kind of funny, you know. Every morning I get up and, sorry, excuse me, I got something. Let me take a drink here.
Mm-hmm.
That's smog. I got to get that thing down. Okay.
That's okay.
Every morning I wake up and I watch the Weather Channel. You know, every morning I watch the Weather Channel because I'm kind of interested in knowing what the weather is going to be like, especially out in the rural area where I work, because a lot of times in the rural areas, if there's going to be a lot of rain and wind, we're going to lose power. So I kind of just, in my mind, I like to just kind of know what I'm looking at for the day. And it is amazing to me how the Weather Channel will sensationalize the weather. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm not suggesting, like, you know, we had some pretty sensational winter weather this year. I mean, Boston and some of those areas up north, they got 100 inches of snow. I mean, that is sensational. There's no doubt. But, you know, like this morning, you know, it's like they can't just say, well, there's a lot of heavy rain in Central Florida. Oh, no, we've got to be – there's pelting rain with flash flooding. And, I mean, it's all so sensational. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, the truth is it's just raining. It always rains in Central Florida.
Right.
We're tropical, so it's going to rain. We know about the rain. And what's really kind of funny is they make such a big deal out of it, and all my relatives from Nevada and from California, they'll call and they'll say, are you guys okay? Is your house washing away? No, it's just rain. You know, we live through this every year. And I'm not suggesting, I'm not minimizing the violence. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not minimizing it. And I am not minimizing the fact that these young men, especially young men, are being shot and killed and shouldn't, and that these officers are not in the wrong. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is exactly what you're saying, in that there are a lot of really great police officers out there, and there are a lot of great young men and women who are really trying to do the right thing. And what we tend to only see on TV are all the bad things that are happening. But that doesn't mean that's what's happening. That's everything that's happening. And I think people have to kind of start to get wised up here that, you know, listen, it's not, you know, is it dangerous for you to be out walking the street at night, you know, if you're all by yourself? And I mean, sure, there are bad people in the world, and these bad people do things. And we have to be careful, sure. But not everything is violent. And not every person you meet, not every police officer you meet, not every young person that you meet, are going to do the wrong thing. And I think we just don't see enough of that in the media, you know? And that's my beef with the whole thing. It's just we're seeing a very jaded, very biased set of stories. And I think that's unfortunate.
We're going to get on it. And, guys, we're definitely going to, I'm going to post a show about, in reference to what we're talking about the law enforcement and et cetera. And I may even have a couple of guys to call in that's actually law enforcement to let you hear their voices and hear their opinions also. But we're going to get into the show. Doc, stop. See, I'm from a small town, by the way. I forgot. Yeah, people think I'm in New Orleans. I'm a small, small town. But, you know, we'll talk about that next show. The show, the topic today was talking about love and why it's so important to love yourself. Well, obviously, there's not enough love going around the world right now from what we just saw. But
that's right.
It was basically saying, too, love, just itself, the definition is that intense feeling of deep affection, fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, attachment. I had someone to call, text to actually post a message said, if you don't love yourself, you can't love others. You can't give out what you don't possess. The love, Dr. Stafford, in my opinion, is that the reason why you have to love yourself, because God created us, right? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And He gave us what we have, what you see in the mirror. Now, of course, there are some people not satisfied with the way you look, and they change a few things here and there, but at the end of the day, you still have to find some way to love yourself because you have family involved. Everyone that's living has a part of a family. Everyone that's living have some friend or friends. Okay, one will have real friends or just friends, just to say you have friends on Facebook, just on Facebook, whatever. But social media friends. But you have some type of friend, and even those friends, too, that's following you, those friends, too, can actually tune in like you're doing right now at the show, and you have family that love you. Someone loves you. Those people that love you don't even know that they love you. That's some kid or little girl that's actually that wants to be like their aunt, their oldest sister, their grandmother, or their uncle, their brother, their father. Okay? So when you loving yourself, you have to actually think about those things, number one. Number two, you have to don't think, I would say, Dr. Stafford, some people think, well, you love yourself, you're just selfish. No, you can't let anyone throw you off course about how you feel confident in yourself, because once you love yourself, that builds self-confidence. And you have to have that chip on your shoulder, because it don't matter what goes through your life, you want to keep your head up and love yourself and keep moving forward. You have to do those things. It's not being arrogant.
That's right.
Yeah, because, you know, we're not here to fail. We're here to succeed.
Right. That's right.
So you have to take confidence of yourself, for yourself, because you only have you at the end of the day.
That's right.
I'm going to get back on. Go ahead. What are your thoughts on why you think
First of all, I want to remind I want to remind our callers that if you want to call, you can call 323-417-6724, 323-417-6724. If you want to chime in on this topic of why it's important for you to love yourself, we'd love to hear from you. I think, Stevie, the thing that comes to mind as we're talking about this is, you know, you love what you value. I mean, you know, I mean, I love my children. I value them. I mean, I think they're the most valuable things in my life. I love my wife. She's the most valuable thing I have, that I have in my life. She is more valuable than anything else. I love God because he has the most value of anything I have in my life. I value my friends like you because you have value. You know, we typically don't love what we don't value. And now that doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't find value in most everything. That's true. That's exactly my point, is that if I can't find value in myself, then I won't love myself. And the truth is, if I can't find value in myself to where I can love myself and be comfortable with myself, doesn't mean I don't have things I should change. Doesn't mean that I don't have moments that I regret. But if I don't value myself and I don't love myself, it's going to be very hard for me to love others because I won't see the inherent value in them. In fact, what I'll see is I'll see the value and then I'll be jealous of the value. And I'll actually lean toward hating them. Now, I know hate is a word that we throw around in our culture, and I don't mean it that way. I mean that hate being the opposite of love. In other words, our tendency is to mix in rejection and fear and all of those things in to our opinions about other people. And I think this really ties into what you opened the show with, because this is exactly what happens. When we start to, lean away from love, I'm trying hard not to use the word hate because that's really a different thing for us, but when we lean away from love and we start to get annoyed and perturbed and you know, what happens is that we are devaluing people. When we devalue people, that has a very negative effect. But you can almost always find that if people are devaluing others, that they have very low value within themselves. They really don't feel very valuable themselves. And so what happens is they see the value in you and they don't like that. They tend to loathe that. They tend to fight against it because they're jealous about it. They're envious of it. And right. Really, we're seeing that more and more. You know, we're seeing in a world where self-esteem is kind of at an all-time low, we really need to help each other find value in each other, and we need to find value in ourselves. So that's kind of the thought I have as I'm thinking about it.
Once you said the value, you said the value of others and the value of yourself. Repeat that again, Dr. Stafford, please.
Yeah, I said, you know, in a world where self-esteem is kind of at an all-time low, you know, our
right.
biggest need right now is to help each other find value, not only in each other. We need to find value in each other, but we need to help each other find value in ourselves. You know, we need to really begin
right.
to say, hey, you know, you have great value. Let me tell you what your value is. And so much of how we value people in our society is external. It's
Dr. Stafford, what you just said is I was thinking of that this week. Now, if you don't love yourself, you can affect a lot of people, your friends, family,
yeah.
people around you, your actions.
Absolutely.
You know, by the way you go about the day, what do you go about doing when you get home after work? What are you doing with the way you go about even before you go to bed the next morning, just everywhere you go? You depressed. You don't. Well, listen, if you have a job, okay, if you have a job and you're moving forward in life, look in the mirror. If it takes you, look in the mirror, look at yourself and say, listen, I'm about to move forward. I'm happy with myself, love myself, and take care of myself, and go from there. There's a lot of people today that's unemployed. There's a lot of people sleeping in cars. There's a lot of people that won't even live to get to tomorrow or the next hour. So quit looking back while you're trying to run a race. As my coach told me in high school, in track, or any coach tell you this when you're in track, when you start looking back, you start slowing down. When you start looking back, you're not going to finish the race. Now, I'm a prime candidate of looking back at my past, and it's hindered me along the way. I'm going to tell you that for real. Because your whole life you wanted to, you love yourself, you want to be right, you want to be this way. You can move forward. You want to help others. You want to do this, do that. Live this perfect life, just clean. No, at the end of the day, you never know what God has for any of us.
Right.
Okay? You never know at the end of the day what the plan is. But I know the plan is this, that we have to love ourselves. Because if we don't, you're going to affect your family members. You're going to affect people around you, period. And another thing, Dr. Stafford, too, to help this, to give some motivation, when you're by yourself, and one thing about life, everyone is going to be alone at some period of time, whether it's for the day, whether it's for the week, for hours, you're going to be some time alone by yourself, and you're sort of thinking. When you find yourself some time alone, you need to find time to even just go eating out. I mean, go to a movie. Try a bookstore, exercise, art, music, seminars, or shows, festivals, and don't forget prayer. Some of these things right here I just mentioned are very, very helpful. They sound little, but they're major. They're major. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to go back backwards. Don't forget to pray. I said again, don't forget your prayers. Check out some festivals, go to some shows, some seminars. And these things I'm telling you right now, a lot of these shows and festivals, you can go right there on the weekend. They're free. It's not like you're paying to pay money to get there. Music, art, getting a routine of exercises. It's never too late to doing these things. A bookstore, check out a movie. When I'm eating out, have a good time. You have to live, too, in life. You just can't just work and go home. You have to live in life, too.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one thing that I've always tried to remember, and I've tried to teach other people. And it's kind of a kitschy little phrase, but it's got so much profound truth to it, and that is that you always have to remember this one thing, that what is internal is eternal. See, everything on the outside can go away, and things can change, and my car can break down, and my life can fall apart. But what's internal will be eternal. What I do with the life that I've been given on the inside, you know, that's where the real value is. My real value is not what I can do. My real value is who I am. We've talked about this many times, but we have to get to that point. We have to get to the point where we understand that in order to love myself doesn't mean I have to bring others down. It means that I have to understand why I'm valuable. And, you know, what really works, and when you start to understand that the internal is eternal, when you really begin to kind of wrap your head around that, and when you really start to think about it, and I would encourage every listener to this show, whether you're listening right now or whether you're listening an archive later or whatever, write down that three or four or five words on a post-it and put it somewhere that you see every day. What is internal is eternal. If you'll think that, if you'll start to wrap your head around that, then what happens is when you start to meet others, you are now, it becomes a focus of encouraging the internal. So like, for instance, my, as just an exercise, I'll show you what I mean. You know, the value that I find in Stevie Anderson is not that he is about 9 feet tall or that he is athletic or that he is my value in Stevie Anderson, the value I find in you is that, you know, you just got a great heart and you've got a great sense of discipline in your life. And even though you've made a lot of mistakes, you have a great sense of who you are and the discipline about what you need to do, and you have a heart that's open to other people. That's what makes you valuable. Those are the internal things that makes you valuable. And when I talk to you about those things, you can't deny that those things exist because somebody else is telling you. And when we start to encourage other people from an internal perspective, that's what's going to change the world, Stevie. It's not going to be that all of us become athletes. I mean, I love the fact that people are athletes or musicians or whatever, or that we're going to somehow, you know, we're going to all climb Mount Everest. If we all climb Mount Everest, some of us are still going to be miserable because it has nothing to do with what we did, but who we were. It's not anything about what we're going to do, but who we're going to be. And that's the thing, you know, if we can begin to encourage the internal in others, we can start to build people and not just build skills. Nothing wrong with building skills, Stevie. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with coaching. Nothing wrong with any of that. But we have to begin, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we have to build people, and you do that internally. And I just made it a point in my life to do that and to be an encouraging person, not overly positive. Some things aren't always positive. You don't always have to be positive in order to be encouraging. Sometimes you can say, you know what, I really feel your pain, and I'm here for you, or whatever. You don't always have to be, you don't always have to have the right, perfect thing to say. But you do want to build people from the inside. And when you do that, you can change the world. I promise you, you will change the world if you build people internally.
Mm-hmm. That's true as it gets. And I really do take it on the step of what you said. But, you know, you have to think. All my things go to my upbringing, you know, the discipline. You know, from mom, my dad, my neighbors, just my family, period. And, you know,
right.
having an older brother to keep you on track. Even have a younger brother to take things. You know, he's younger than you, but he can tell you some things because he probably experienced some things I hadn't experienced. Anytime someone can experience some things, basically you have to listen. Pay attention to listening to anyone because you never know what they experience. It doesn't matter. Creed, et cetera. It doesn't matter,
right?
Who they are, where they come from. But let me give you 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, 4 through 8 verses. It said 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, 4 through 8 verses. It said, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Let me say it again. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Okay? I'm going to finish in a minute, but just those, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. You have so many shows. You mentioned today, Dr. Stafford, just beginning the show, about some of the shows on television today. You have some shows supposed to be helpful to motivating people. But instead, they're actually being arrogant and rude to other people.
Right.
And they're being, they're boasting and bragging of what they have achieved and what someone else has not achieved. You have a lot of shows like that today. They're supposed to be motivational shows and talking to people and helping them, but they're one-sided a lot of times. It said back to Corinthians, chapter 4 through 8 verse, it said it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Okay? Love never ends. As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. I just want to give a quote of love in the Bible, and that love, you can, it actually affects everyone, what I just spoke about. But going back, Dr. Stafford, the loving yourself, no matter what you're going through, if you feel like you have a better talent than someone, or if you get attention somewhere, if you're not getting attention, or you feel like you have a talent, you feel like you're just in last place all the time in everything you do. Your parents, just having your own, making your own opinion, everyone's putting you back in last place. At the end of the day, you have to look in the mirror and you have to love yourself, because guess what? I mentioned this before, and one day in life, we're dead and gone. You may remember what I'm saying. There's more people that's dead and gone, but that's not living, than it is living. Okay? Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. But at the same time, in a sense, there's people that's watching over you. There's people that's living, that's watching you, and wants to be like you. Okay? You can be a teenager right now. You can be an adult. You can feel like, I haven't reached the goals I want to reach in life.
Mm-hmm.
Do stay on the path. Stay on your path. Everyone has their own path to run. Stay on your path and stay focused and doing positive things. And stay on path. And by doing that, you have to believe in yourself. You have to keep yourself busy. Not, because you have to rest also. Keep yourself active.
Right.
These are the things that we have to do. And the things that I mentioned earlier, about staying active, these things are just like, these are healthy foods to our body, basically, to keep us going. You have to attend movies, you know, bookstore, keep yourself busy, exercise, art, music, festivals, shows, seminars, and prayer, number one, of course. And
right.
You have to do these things. Believe in yourself. It's crucial. Because all you have is yourself at the end of the day when you're by yourself.
Yeah. At the same time that you say that, and I agree with that, you also have to remember that you are actually never alone, and that you always have God. And you know, you may be listening to the show and not believe in God, and you know, I mean, you're gonna have to wrestle with that yourself. But I'm telling you that, you know, we never ever have to face life alone. There never has to come to a place where, you know, you don't ever have to come to a place where you're only facing life alone. You can always face life with the one who created you, and he is able and willing to be a part of your life in a way that is truly, truly radical. And I don't ever want people to forget that. And of course, there are many different ways you can find out more about that. But I'm just saying that if you're listening to this radio program and you feel alone, you do not have to feel alone, because God is near and he wants to be a part of your life. And so at the same time, there are also others that are willing to be a part of your life and for you to reach out. And you need to, do not separate yourself from those who love you most. And I think a lot of times what happens when you don't have that, when you can't find value in yourself, you tend to keep yourself from others because that just feels, intuitive. But actually, that's the worst thing you can do. What you really need to do is you need to get around people who build you up. I love what you said about the discipline in your life is that, see, that was given to you by someone else. Your parents and your coaches and all the people in your life, they invested in you internally. They didn't just say, we're going to invest in a bunch of skills. They said, yeah, we're going to invest in some skills, but we're going to invest in Stevie, who he is. And now that you're older, that's what Proverbs says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that you are older, you're not departing from that. You say, yeah, you know, I can find value. Does it mean that everything that you've ever done in your life was right? No. Does it mean you don't have things that you regret and wish you hadn't done? No. But it does mean that you still find the value within yourself because you know that those people valued you. And I think that's really important. I think at the end of this conversation, what I want people to walk away with is you have great value, and you just need to find out what that means for your life and begin to build yourself internally. And it will have a radical impact on the people around you.
That's right. That's right. And Dr. Stafford, you know, that's some people in life, at certain points they left, they have no control, they may get sick, et cetera.
Right.
But for us, that's that our minds are together, and we know what's going on in life, and we can see to do better.
Right.
We must do better. We must love ourselves. And again,
right.
It's not being cocky of arrogance. Let me tell you this, because I always have to hit on football. When I was playing football, and any football player will tell you this, you better hit that football field with some arrogance and a chip on your shoulder. And I say this again, I said 1,000 times, because if you don't, you're going to wake up in the next 10 seconds in the locker room wondering what happened. And then after that, you're going to pack your clothes and you're going to leave. You have to have that chip on your shoulder of arrogance and a sense of, in a good way, of belief in yourself. Not that you were disrespecting others and look down on people. Not that. But loving yourself that, okay, I'm out here on this football field and it's a team. I'm going to do my job to help my team. And in life, it's a team. Your team is God, number one. Number two is your family. Number three, your friends. We all have a team. You have a team. Everyone has a team.
Right.
So make sure that you love yourself. Keep moving forward. Because our little ones are looking up at us, and even some of your friends, your own adults, your friends that you don't know are looking up to you and believing in you.
Right.
And the ones that doesn't, that's fine. That should be more fire, more fuel to the fire to start believing in yourself and loving yourself and moving forward in life. I enjoyed the show. Go ahead and close it up, but I've enjoyed the show, and you want to sell fuel to a few other things that's on your mind, and we can get on it in the next couple of weeks. But
all right,
All
right, awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Stevie Anderson Radio Show. Join us next time as we will talk about more of the things that matter to help you impact the world through just who you are. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Episode 32 is now in the bag. We'll catch you next time right here, Stevie Anderson Radio, on Blog Talk Radio Network. God bless. Have a wonderful week.